All right, I'm here with Robbie and Kelly from Sarah's Treasures, a nonprofit thrift store that is also a cat rescue. They direct people to where services are for cats. So what is Sarah's, Robbie?
I'm going to flip-flop you. We're a cat shelter first and then a thrift store second. And we were started in January 2001 to help advertise for adoptions for the public shelter at the time that was there in place. And now we've since grown into a full-fledged animal rescue. And our mission here at Sarah's, which stands for the Shelter Animal Resource Alliance, is to rescue, assist, and advocate for homeless and shelter animals. And we're a nonprofit, we're run by a board of directors, and we're currently celebrating our 20-year anniversary.
And Sarah stands for what?
The Shelter Animal Resource Alliance. Our program works with veterinarians and other shelters, as we tend to work with the harder to adopt animals or animals that are at risk of euthanasia. We assist the public with information and resources about animal services in Lane County.
All right, and so you have, I noticed on your website that you have all kinds of really cool funding options there that I, is amazing, whoever thought of these is amazing, including Amazon and whatever, Chewy, if you want to tell me about that.
We do. So we do have our wish lists at Chewy.com and Amazon.com. And then if you also use Amazon Smile and sign up for the Shelter Animal Resource Alliance, we'll get any purchase from the Amazon Smile. We'll get a little kickback from that as well. But we have our everyday fundraiser, which is the Sarah's Treasures Thrift Store. And it gives us our much-needed funding for medical needs and giving the high-quality care and nutrition that Sarah's is known for. And we're open every day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Here on River Road, right next to the 7-Eleven on River Road.
That's right. 871 River Road is our address.
And sarahstreasures.org is the website.
Absolutely. And then if you can go to our website at www.sarahstreasures.org, it's full of great information about our programs, our animals, and our wish list that we just mentioned that through Amazon and Chewies.com. We're also on Facebook under the Shelter Animal Resource Alliance and on Instagram under Sarah's Treasures. And you can see our animals available for adoption on petfinder.com or through the link on our website.
And you can also donate food.
You can donate food, animal food, preferably. And that gets used either for our animals here, goes out for sale, or is used with EARS, which is the Emergency Animal Resource Squad, who are currently still feeding animals from the Holiday Farm Fire at the SIPS containers, which is the shelter-in-place stations.
Well, and you can, of course, donate cash also.
Monetary donations are honestly one of the biggest keys to keeping Sarah's up and running, and without them we wouldn't be here. So we also have to give a huge thank you to all those who donate monetarily or with in-kind donations for the thrift store, as well as our volunteers.
And so Mother's Day is coming up. I noticed you have something planned for Mother's Day.
We do. This year we're celebrating our 14th annual Mother's Day plant art and artisan sale, and it's going to be May 8th and 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And at the sale, it's going to be in the front parking lot, and it's full of fruit and veg starters, perennials, unique hanging baskets made by Sarah's staff, and plenty of yard art and artisan gifts that were donated for us for Mother's Day.
Right, and you sell pet food too.
We also sell pet food. We sell new quality pet supplies from food, treats, toys, cat trees, litter, and litter boxes, collars, and even flea treatment products. What we use for our animals here in our program, we also offer for sale to make transitioning easier for our adoptees and to give quality options to pet owners at affordable prices.
Well, so while we're on pet food, I just have a question. What is up with pet food? I notice it used to be that they're just coating grains with animal products. And is that what should one look for in pet food nowadays?
Real meat and moisture content is the two real things you super want in it. And so what we do here is we feed a species appropriate nutrition to all of our animals in our program. And while we're currently caring primarily for felines, they're obligate carnivores. They eat meat and lots of it. So here we feed either soft food or raw food, but never kibble, as kibble has a low moisture content and won't give them enough hydration. Whereas the soft and raw food gives them ample moisture content and keeps them well hydrated.
Well, so that's a little bit expensive, though. So even you don't even put oil in or meat juice with the kibble?
We don't do kibble at all. No hard food whatsoever. Kibble was made for convenience to humans, not to animals. We don't meal feed here, or we don't free feed here either. We meal feed. They're on a schedule. And when you do that, it becomes just as cost effective as feeding kibble, because most of the time people are feeding kibble as free feeding. The cats can come and eat whenever they want. And here, because they get a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we can keep those consistency in terms of quantities and know how much they're eating and be able to know how much is also coming out. So it's a good way to keep up with all the medical logs and everything we do here as well.
It also saves on vet bills.
And vet bills. It does save on vet bills.
It's healthy, so it doesn't lead to a lot of other complications. Like dry food can lead to a lot of things like diabetes, obesity, kidney failure, liver failure, and just all around just unhealthy skin, unhealthy fur, a lot of skin issues, probably get more fleas and parasites that way as well. So if you're feeding the right food, that's the first place to start with good health.
Okay, so what makes the Shelter Animal Resource Alliance unique?
We are a no-kill rescue with no time limit for adoptions. Our animals are here until they find appropriate homes. Our longest stay here before they were adopted out was 9 years. So we make sure that they find the best, most loving, most appropriate home. Again, also back to food, we follow the species appropriate nutrition. And then we also use integrative medical care, which allows us to treat our animals not only holistically, but also conventionally. And that means they will be on conventional medication if they have to, but sometimes they don't have to be. And it just is a little bit of just using a little bit of a natural remedies to help them get back up into a full functioning gear.
And so you say, again, you say 9 years rather than most shelters are 90 days.
Correct. No, they'll be here as a Sarah's cat forever. And then we also have a return policy for the life of the animal. You can bring back a Sarah's animal for any reason at any time, no questions asked. You can always bring that animal back here.
All right, so who is Pancake and Waffle?
Pancake and Waffle were two kittens that were rescued from the Holiday Farm fire zone. After the fire cleared, there was a lot of misplaced animals, including a lot of feral colonies as well, were it had nowhere to go, had no one to feed them. So Pancake and Waffle were two small feral kittens that we rescued. They were trapped in the fire zone, and when we got them, they were full of parasites. They needed baths. These poor guys had been through so much. They were semi-feral when we got them, but after socialization, they became very friendly, very outgoing kittens. We did a lot of vet care. We did all necessary vet care. They were spayed and neutered. We did a lot of deworming. They both had ear mites, pretty severe ear mites. It took weeks of treatment to get rid of the ear mites. And after that, they became healthy, happy, chubby-bellied little kittens who have been adopted now and are living it up together. We always keep our kittens together. We adopt them out as bonded pairs. And so they live happily with a great family, and they really scored big. I mean, I can't believe the trauma they had to go through and how rewarding it was to save them and then to rehome them to some amazing adopters.
Well, so what else happened during the Holiday Farm fire?
Like I said, it displaced a lot of people and their pets. And so the EARS team, because Lane County, unfortunately, did not have any kind of response thing in action, there was no one that could go out there and get the animals. So EARS actually formed because of the fire. There was people who worked at the Paradise Fire down in California who knew how to do all of this. They helped form the group. They formed a way that you could put it in a request to say, my animals are trapped in my house. My animals are left up there, because people had to leave like last second. They had no time to get any belongings, or in many cases, they couldn't get their pets or their farm animals. And so the EARS team got crews together to go up there. They went through down the list based on importance. They got animals that were, some of them were literally like locked in the house. And if the house was still standing, they needed to be fed or whatever until they could get them out. And so we helped with the the cats who we, number one, if they had an owner that was known, we would at least have a place here. So when they were, you know, trapped or however they were gotten here, we could, you know, bathe them, flea treat them, do all the things until their people could come and get them. Because a lot of times the people had nowhere to go. They had to leave. And so they couldn't get here for a couple of days.
Within a week, I think we took in 35 cats walked through our doors that were from the fires that had homes. And they came and were cleaned and set up, like she said. And then their owners came and picked them up. And it was, the relief on their faces was just insane. They were so happy to see their cats. But 7 months later, we're still finding cats. They're still up there. They're still being fed through the ears, volunteers. So donations of pet food, as we explained earlier, does help to go a long way to help feeding them. Because the SIPS containers, the shelter-in-place stations, that were wonderfully donated and made by the community through volunteers and through donations, they're still up there. And the Paradise Farm Fire people, as we still know, it can be up to 2 years. They're still finding animals out there. They go long, far, and wide. And even currently right now, we have 2 fire cats that recently came in. One of them was Lionel. He was recently in the registered guard as he lived 5 months out there declawed, and he made it.
Yeah, he likely had been out there longer declawed. Like, we think based on his socialization level, he might have been dumped years ago for all we know, because... and the poor guy has just been out there declawed for whatever reason. And no one has stepped forward. No one knows whose cat this is. So I think thousands of people know about him because of all the publicity and all the stories on him and social media and everything.
And he is here?
He's here now. He's yep. Here. He's he had, had some extreme dental work that needed to be done. The poor guy had like pus pockets and rotting teeth that needed to be come out right away.
He also had to get shaved.
We shaved off all of his mats. He's like a Maine Coon mix, probably. He's probably not a real Maine Coon, but he's as fluffy, and he had some serious mats, so we just had to shave it all off. Especially with the fire, a lot of the cats came in just smelling like smoke, and since they groom themselves.
And so they were ingesting dangerous. That ash.
So that's why we had to bathe each one of them to get all that off.
Well, so what happens to a cat in the outdoors, though, like that, if they get displaced? Can they acclimatize themselves? Don't they get thicker fur, at least?
Yeah, they do. Cats are survivors, and so a lot of times in fire situations, people who had their cats locked in the house actually thought their cats might have died, but... Sometimes, most of the time, in fact, like they survive. They know how to get down away from the smoke. And then the windows are the things that break first in a fire. So then they escape out the windows or whatever. And so even, I think just a week ago, a cat, one of our volunteers, he actually did a lot of our, he donated and also provided a lot of our logo items. Dale Highland, I think that was on Facebook too recently. His cat from 5 months ago, who he thought had died because it was in the house, his cat was found and returned to him like 5 months after the fact. So there's a lot of heartwarming stories still happening. And he, like I said, his cats must have just hunkered down until they could get out, and they got out, and then they survived because of the shelter in place. And the food, the feeding routes, people have been putting food and shelters out there so they could stay warm and get food as needed to make it easier to survive.
But we also need to give a shout out to the EARS crew, who also has the unfortunate job of identifying remains of pets and animals that didn't make it out. And that's a really hard part of that job. We're not up there doing it. They are. So we're very thankful to the EARS volunteers for taking care of that. And making sure that there's some closure for people who unfortunately survived the fires, but their animals did not. But it's still good to know that closure either way, you know.
Well, but so how do they shelter themselves, though? Do they find a log to go under, or do they get, and do they find each other? I know they're social animals.
Sometimes.
Do they find other cats?
Yeah. Sometimes, if they're friendly cats, they might hunker down together. Cats are just good survivors. Like, they know how to, like, slink down into, like, a shelter wherever they can turn any kind of you know, a bush or just something that can, you know, to warm themselves.
That's what I mean. They're warm-blooded animals, and I see them staying in one spot in the cold a lot, and they seem to warm that spot up.
They warm the core, absolutely. Yeah. They tuck their feet under and everything like that, but they'll also hide in cars, especially they can travel into car hoods, so it's always good if you live out in the woods or where you know there's a lot of stray cats to check your cars to make sure there's no guys hiding in there before you turn that on. But they'll also live under decks. They'll live, you know, sheds, anywhere they can find a place. They have claws. They can dig. They'll be able to find a way to make themselves warm if they need to.
All right. So you don't do, what about trap, neuter, and return? Like at my place, I have a bunch of feral cats and I don't have time right now, but I'd like to get a trap out there and trap them and bring them in. Because they seem to be multiplying, yep, I seem to get more and more cats there.
The most effective way is the trap, neuter, return. I know it takes time, but once you get them all fixed, and like the way to know, they do an ear tip for cats that they know are going to be, that are feral and are just going to go back out. They'll get an ear tip, so then you know that one's been altered. And so then once you have all your cats out there that have been altered with ear tips, then they're not going to be multiplying anymore, and pretty soon the colony will stabilize and you won't get new cats coming in that aren't fixed.
Yeah, you'll also be able to tell if a new cat comes in because they won't have an ear tip.
Right.
But generally when you have an established colony, that's how that keeps the other ones away, you know, so it's really beneficial, like if you have a colony, to just start with one and just start fixing them. You know,
there's a pecking order. They're not going to like the new guy.
Well, and how does that work though? You rent a cage to someone.
You can rent them. You can even buy them if you know you're going to be doing it for a long time. They probably aren't. They're probably like $100. You can buy them online. We like True Catch is the ones that we use. They're like a 32-inch live trap. And so then they has a trigger on it. You put the food in, maybe a little trail of food to convince them to go in. And then when they go to eat, they trigger the trap. And then just make sure it's nice and covered. Try, you know, you need to check them very often. You can't leave them in there
for
too
long.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, you can't. That's what I mean. I'm gone, so I'm afraid I'm going to leave them in the trap.
Set it at night would be the best thing. Set it overnight, and then in the morning, you'll see if you have someone. And that would be the time to go down to we have a low-cost spay and neuter clinic called WAGS, the Willamette Animal Guild. That's what the acronym stands for. They do low-cost spay and neuters, and they do feral standbys. So if you catch one that morning, if you can get down there by, I think, 7:45 in the morning, and if there's not a huge waiting list, then they can get that cat in and get him spayed or neutered that day. And then if it's a weekday, they're not open on the weekend. So make sure, like, if you're going to do it, don't set it over a weekend because you don't want to have them in the trap all weekend. So.
All right, and so what do people do that just don't want their cat anymore for whatever reason, or and if you find a stray that's either injured or just a stray?
Well, you know, I mean, we try to encourage people to do pet retention. Because right now, Lane County, unfortunately, does not have a huge resource pool for cats.
Actually, there is no ordinances for cats in Lane County currently.
But there is for dogs, but there isn't for cats.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is there's no resources for people who want to rehome their animals. It's a long process. There's not a lot of shelters. There's not a lot of people looking for cats compared to dogs. So we try to encourage pet retention first and foremost. But if for some reason they really can't keep the animal, you know, you can call Green Hill. Right now they're not even taking cats as far as I know. They have a huge wait list, but you can try and get on that. Cran is another good one. Like, also they're very inundated with cats right now, but they also have a waiting list. You can also try social media is a really great way to go, like getting up on Craigslist and rehome the animal yourself. Just be very careful. Have a small rehoming fee because there are people who use them for, you know,
nefarious things.
Yeah, so... those would be the best places to start, and then you're just gonna have to be patient. So if you know that you're not gonna be able to take your cat with you if you're moving,
you
need
to start
now.
Early.
Don't wait till the day before you move because it's really hard to find a place, and which is what leads to dumping in our community. A lot of people dump their animals,
which has gotten a lot worse due to COVID and the pandemic because the shelters did get overrun, especially when the fires happened here. There is a wait list for most places you go to. Some of those wait lists are
3 weeks at the minimum, and then they go get longer from there. And then a lot of shelters here that I know that are doing pet intakes for surrenders, there is a small fee as well for surrendering your animal.
Well, because during the financial crisis, a lot of people just let their dogs out. They were evicted, and they just let their dogs out. So,
well, dogs are supposed to be licensed here in Lane County, and there are rules in place for letting your dogs run wild. You can be fined. You can get your ownership stripped from being able to own a dog. Those same laws are not in place for cats. You know, you have to license your dog here in Lane County. You don't have to license your cat here in Lane County. And if you find a dog here in Lane County, you know, you don't get to keep the dog after 6 weeks unless you really, you know, stray dogs are really hard to find here. There's usually not stray dogs. There's usually just lost dogs. Whereas cats, there is a stray cat. If you feed that stray cat after trying to find its home and you've been feeding that cat for 6 weeks, that cat becomes your cat. And now you get to take care of it according to Lane County.
I think it's 3 months. 3 months is the time.
LaneCounty.org says, yeah, 6 weeks if you're feeding a stray cat. That is
I think it's 3 months. Legally, it's 3 months. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, there's a period that if you're feeding a cat, but that's just it. There's no regulations for licensing cats.
No real regulations.
But you are responsible for a cat that you're feeding.
Yeah. And if you want to know the cat ordinances for Lane County, I recommend going to the LaneCounty.org website and looking up what they say about cats.
All right, so let's get into a little bit of cat personality. First of all, you don't recommend... my thing about cats is they eat birds and reptiles.
Yes, yes, they do. So you should feed them lots of poultry.
So, well, we all, our cats, we want to keep indoor only. We recommend that to all of our adopter. I mean, that's a requirement for our adopters. We recommend it to everyone that comes in here when people... you know, talk about like what to do with their cat. I mean, keeping them indoor is really beneficial for the cat. It makes them more of a family member. It also it increases their life expectancy by a lot. Like cats that are outdoor, live outside exclusively, usually live about 2 years, you know, statistically speaking. Obviously there's going to be exceptions. And then, but like an indoor cat is going to live a lot longer, up to 15 to 20 years. So.
Yeah, like 20, cats can go 25 years, right?
Yes.
And they transmit COVID, or what's the deal with COVID in cats?
COVID is zoonotic, which means you can give your animal COVID. So you do want to be careful currently, especially if you've been diagnosed. You don't want to give your animal kisses or try to do any... in your face things. You want to, you know, quarantine yourself away from your pet or be as safe as you can with them as well. There's been no cases of animals dying of COVID, but they do get it and they can spread it.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of research on all of that. I mean, there have been indications that cats have tested positive, some big cats in certain like zoos and stuff, like tigers. But they don't seem to have the same symptoms as humans. They don't seem to, you know, it's not like a life altering type disease for them.
Right. It's just spreadable. So it's just contagious.
And why are cat videos so popular?
Because they're adorable.
Yeah, because cats rule. They're amazing.
That pretty much answers itself. They're amazing creatures.
They have their own language?
They do have their own language. They speak through a lot of body language. Cats usually don't meow to other cats. Meowing is for humans. Is how they talk to you. But ways to talk to your cat through cat language is telling your cat I love you by doing slow blinks to your cat. And that shows your cat that, hey, I think you're amazing. You know, and then your cat, you'll sometimes see, especially if your cat's fixed, and you're like, what is this tail shake they're doing? And they do this fun little tail whizzing. And that's actually your cat's having a really good time, and they're really happy, and they're showing you how happy they are. Sometimes it mimics the same thing that when they spray, but they're not spraying. They're very happy. So, and then of course, other things you want to look for, like if you see their fur puff up, you know that they're clearly getting agitated about something.
Their ears are back.
They're not very excited about something.
Their whiskers going forward means that they're getting ready to pounce.
Mm-hmm. So there's definitely
a lot of body language
involved in learning.
If their tail is flickering back and forth, that also could show that they're...
Yeah, tails are a great indicator of what a cat is thinking. And it really depends on how fast or slow or tapping or violent their tail is being.
Now, you mentioned spraying. What is that? That's just the male cat, or I don't...
People spray too. All cats can spray. It's just them urinating. Kind of like, yeah, like urinating. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of times they'll do that. You know, they shouldn't spray after they're spayed and neutered.
I mean, they can.
But they usually don't. But when they do,
it just depends. It's a behavioral thing.
Yeah. But for mating, then probably more so than territory. They're telling their mate that they're here. And what their condition is.
Yeah, you're right. It's territorial. After they get neutered, like male cats have a very strong scent before they get neutered, and it emits a lot of testosterone. So yes, that probably would let the other male cats know there's a big tomcat in the area. It probably isn't going to attract the female per se. The males are the ones that go out and roam to look for.
Yeah, if there's a stray female in heat who's spraying, it's a good indicator they're close in the area.
But I mean, that's the reason why they don't spray as much when they're neutered, is because
it is a territorial thing. So like if you have an outdoor cat and they smell other cats peeing, like the tomcats, they're gonna mark their own territory as a protector. So cats that are indoor outdoor often do spray, either sometimes naughtily, behaviorally, you know, have bad behavior inside the house. They also do it outside. But absolutely, cats will still spray after they've been altered.
And then if you have two cats living in a house together and, you know, one of them's a newer cat and you're noticing that your older cat is starting to spray everywhere, trying to, like, be like, no, this is my house. So there are ways to combat that. That's when we talk about that pet retention, ways to keep your pet with you. You know, there's great things like a feel away pheromone diffuser, which helps sort of level out wanting that territorialness, and just sort of makes it an even playing field around for the cats. And so that's some ways to stop with the
spraying. It's a good health indicator, because if your cat never sprayed and then all of a sudden they start urinating out of the box or spraying inappropriately on things, sometimes it could be a behavioral thing, but it also could be a health indicator. Like if they're having urinary tract infections, a lot of times they're not going to be urinating properly or in the proper spot. Other things like kidney disease causes a larger, like they don't concentrate their urine, so they're going to have a lot more urine. It's a lot of times what we tell people, like if there's nothing that changed recently and your cat starts doing that, maybe you should take them to the vet. That would be the best place to start. Sometimes if you move, or if you've moved their cat box and they're not happy with it, they might urinate in the wrong place. But there's a whole a lot of reasoning for why they could be doing it.
Or you even change their litter and they don't like their litter, they'll pee out of the box then too. Even if it's not another cat.
What is up with the litter box? Why do they need a litter box?
They need to cover their feces and urine.
For disease reasons. For their own disease.
That's like their instinct is to do that.
Because they probably were died from disease during their evolution.
Then territory wise too, you want to be able to cover that stuff up and not have people following, or you know, other animals following you too, because
they're just neat animals, right? I mean, they don't leave their poop sitting out, and you know, they just instinctually they like to cover it. They dig in the sand, or you know, like back in, you know, old school cats, you know, that's they are desert animals, so they were living in sand, and it was just, that's just what they did.
They're from Egypt?
They're from the North African continent. Not necessarily Egypt, that's just where they liked them the best.
They worshipped cats, yeah.
But they're very difficult to train, but I've seen videos where they're toilet trained, and they even flush the toilet.
Yeah, they're... Yep. Cats are, you know, like they're a little smarter than dogs, I would say. So that might make them so that you can't just train them or tell them what to do. But it's not impossible.
And it's all about patience with the cat. If you're not an incredibly patient person, if you can't, you know, it's a repetitiveness that teaches training. You know, is you got to repeat it. And it can take up to 6 months for them to learn that one thing. And if you don't have that 6 month to give to it, it's not going to work out. So it just takes a really long time. We do some clicker training here.
Positive reinforcement.
Not for potty use, though. We don't use it for the toilet.
But
it's possible. You totally can. So we definitely, if that's something you want to do, we definitely recommend maybe YouTubing that.
Well, they don't have to be potty trained. They just need a litter box.
Just need a litter box and good quality of litter. We also recommend getting litter that doesn't have a scent in it, because it can be sensitive for the cats as well.
And they've done studies on cat loyalty. Will cats eat you when you die? If you die? with
it
when
your cat and how hungry they are.
Yeah, depends on the situation. Yeah, if they're locked, you know, in the house with a dead person and there's no food, I don't. Why
yeah,
not,
they're
right?
All the good carnivores, and that's what they used to hunt and kill and eat it. So
well, and they're like a tiger and lion. They're a feline. They are of the feline.
Yeah, they're just a small version of the big cat.
So they're social animals, just like lions and tigers.
Yeah.
Because
so.
You said that you adopt them in pairs, possible.
Yep. Especially our kittens. We do adopt our kittens out in bonded pairs. And that's for not only the adopter's benefit, but for the cat's benefit. Especially if you're an adopter who has to work and you live alone. This gives your feline friends.
It gives them something to do.
Yeah. And not feeling alone.
A lot of times if you adopt a single kitten and... It's almost impossible to play as good with a kitten as good as another kitten could play with a kitten. And so if they don't have enough entertainment, they're going to start misbehaving and start tearing up your things. And then before
kittens.
You know it, they're like developed as bad behaviors and they're growing up. And then the people don't want them anymore. And surprise, surprise. And they get taken to a shelter. And then it's harder to adopt when they have bad behaviors that are, you know, it's easy to... It's really hard to break a bad behavior once it's, you know, instilled.
Right.
So it only takes a little bit of time for them to develop it, but it takes like three times as long to break it. So.
Well, and then of course I know they sharpen their claws on things, but what's up with boxes and bags?
They just love the crinkly sound.
They love
hiding.
Yep.
They love, you know.
Yeah, it goes back to the shelter thing. If they want to find a place to hide, they'll find a place to hide, and that just helps them. It gives them some sort of comfort in the area. We have a cat named Fred here who loves a good paper bag, and he'll just sit in it for a while just because. He also loves a box. He's the cat you'll put a box down, and he'll just sit in the box.
Yeah.
So, you know, some cats, it's just something they do.
Or when they try to, like, they're too big to fit in it, they still try to find a way to squeeze into the box. That's pretty cute.
All right, and so if people want to support you, again, it's sarahstreasures.org.
Correct.
And when you go to the website, I notice it says Fred Meyer. You have a deal with Fred Meyer, and what is the Giving Tree?
Well, we have the right now the Community Rewards is an ongoing thing with Fred Meyer's. If you sign up, if you pick us as your charity, all of your Fred Meyer Community Rewards will be matched, and we'll get a portion of all of that. And so... We get a quarterly check from Fred Meyer's and I think we have a total of maybe 30 or 40 people in the community that picked us as their, so yeah, it just helps earn us money, and you don't have to do anything different. You just shop at Fred Meyer's as you normally do, and Fred Meyer's will match your community rewards.
When you put in your rewards number, it just is an automatic kickback to us when you get your points. So.
And then our Giving Tree is something that we do it every year, and so it's... I think we still have a wish list up on Amazon that you can donate things. We use them all year round, so it's still something you could do. But it's just a fundraiser that we've done in the community. With COVID, it's a little different because we used to set up about 15 Giving Trees all throughout town. Well, this winter we had to do mostly online fundraising because of the COVID.
It was our first virtual Giving Tree, though, and it was pretty successful. We also had 6 trees and other businesses as well, and we do it during the holiday season, and each of the trees has an ornament on it, which has a picture of a cat, and then what the cat wants with that. So sometimes it'll be $100 for medical, sometimes it would be like, you know, $10 donation. You get to keep the ornament, and then you can either you can just put it in the Giving Tree tub that they have at the store, or you can come in here directly and do it, or again do it online. So it goes great every year, and we're always so thankful for people who take ornaments off our tree.
Great. All right, so we're sitting in the warehouse behind the thrift store where you can buy stuff that goes to, the proceeds go to support Sarah's Treasures, but we're in the warehouse where I see a bunch of cages that you don't, the cats just don't run free, and you've seen the coffee house where the cats are walking around the coffee house. It's not like that.
We used to have cats roaming in the shop. Right now, during COVID, we've just had to kind of shut that down for a little bit so we can be, we have 2 entrances and exits now that we used to only have one. We want to have an entrance and then another door for an exit. So it's really difficult to keep the cats in if the doors are constantly opening. And so, yeah, that's another thing.
Just during COVID.
Hopefully as soon as all this craziness ends, we'll have some cats up running in the store that people can, you know, hang out with the cat while they're shopping. A lot of times the cats will just come and jump on your shoulders, and it's a pretty fun experience.
Oh, we definitely have that. But we call these enclosures versus cages because they're huge. So they're ample-sized, and then we do give exercise time for our cats to roam around. You'll see Fred and Lucy free roam around the warehouse, as well as have their giant, bigger than my master bedroom enclosure. But we try to give ample space for everybody to be able to get good exercise. And then with our wonderful workers here, who we call supervisors because they supervise the cats, it is they get mandatory playtime every day, at least twice a day, sometimes three times a day, depending on which cat kind of needs it more. But then we also try to integrate cats with each other so they can do fun cat things with each other as well. So you won't see too many single cats in enclosures.
Yeah, do you have a laser light that you shine on the walls?
We do. We have ample amount of toys here for our cats that we also sell.
So maybe we can get some sound from a cat. What? So purring, too, is that for humans or is that for cats?
You know, science does not know why cats purr yet.
It's a self-soothing type thing.
But they'll purr when they're not always feeling happy as well. So they'll also purr when they're not happy or when they're scared. So it's not always an indicator of good things. And I'm going to go find Fred.
All right, I can hear the...
I think if we go to Buddy, too, really quick. He's a very big talker. Buddy, he's sleeping.
I had some cats that were part Siamese. Siamese are very vocal,
they're
is
very
that right?
Vocal, yes. I have some part Siamese kitties, too. Hi, Buddy.
Oh, there you are,
Fred. This is Finch.
This is the universal sign for, come here, I want to pet you. I notice all cats know this.
Hi, guys.
And they especially like the on their ear.
You find Fred?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're this is sleeping. Finch, and Finch is also a fire cat. He came from a feral cat colony up in the farm fires. And this is his wife, Chickadee, who also came from the farm fires. And these are just great, wonderful cats who get along well with other cats.
And so I'm looking at two cats basically that look like one cat. They're so close together.
When that happens, we call it a two-headed monster.
A two-headed monster?
Buddy's purring right now if you want to.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that over here.
And when we were talking about medical care, you know, these two kittens were born with stomatitis, which is an autoimmune disorder where the gums attack the teeth like they're foreign objects. And so they did just have dental work done where we removed all of their teeth and only have their canines. So we do quite serious medical care here as well.
But we don't do declawing.
No, declawing is absolutely terrible. Imagine getting every top knuckle of your hand chopped off. That's what it's like to get declawed. And they do it using a guillotine method, and it's just, you have chronic pain for the rest of your life.
It leads to a lot of complications afterwards. They also have lasers. They have a whole bunch of ways to do it, but it's really terrible. Like most countries have outlawed it. Our country is behind the times in that. I think maybe a couple of counties have outlawed it, but it's an ongoing battle that, you know, people who are in the animal welfare community really try to fight to have it outlawed because it's truly a cruel, cruel thing and not necessary.
We do recommend
a lot of times it leads to biting after, like it, if you take off their claws and they tend to become biters because they have no way to use their claws as needed. We always recommend just trimming their claws with little nail clippers. You can use pet nail clippers or you can even use human nail clippers. And so if your cat, you know, will let you, just take and trim off the tips and you're good to go. It's very simple. It's not cruel. It's so much easier than a really costly procedure that is, like I said, cruel and leads to so many complications.
Yeah, they were born with claws because they need them.
Right, I'm getting love bites from this cat when I pet his belly, his or her belly. What I noticed and cats have a sandy tongue. So all your cats are bathed, though. Like, I notice I'm not allergic to cats, but at the dander, when it gets on my hands, if I go home and touch my face after petting a cat, I will sneeze, but I'm not really allergic to cats. So do we wash our cats? I thought cats don't like water.
We bathe them when they were from the fire due to the ash and the pollutants on them, but we don't normally bathe our cats. We have a waterless cat bath that we'll use sometimes for cats, especially if they have wounds that need some cleaning, but most of the time it's just spot cleaning on specific sections on them if they need it. But it's always as is, because they are self groomers and they'll get everywhere that they need to, especially if they're at a good weight. Sometimes they'll be overweight or obese and they won't be able to get their back end, and they'll need manual assistance in cleaning that. But other than that, most of the time they'll be able to get where they need to go.
There's always exceptions to the rule. Like some cats, like if you bathe them at early age, like I've seen on pictures on the internet, going back to the pictures on the internet where people bathe their cats and their cats are totally fine with it. I would say that's abnormal. Most cats do not like water, and for the most part they clean themselves. But if there is, you know, some kind of an emergency situation where they're dirty or something and they really need a bath, we will do it. But it's pretty rare to give a cat a bath.
They don't like it normally.
Pretty stressful event, yes.
So we don't want overweight cats.
Correct.
You're not doing favors. Like, it's fun to feed your cat, but if you're feeding them too much, or you're feeding them improper diet,
and having a fluffy cat is amazing. Everyone loves a fat cat, but it's really bad for their health.
Yeah.
You would definitely want to keep your cat on a good, healthy diet. And by diet, I don't mean underfeeding. I just mean appropriate feeding of your animal based on their weight. It's really easy to find. If you want information on how to nutritionally and scientifically feed your cat, we recommend going to catinfo.org. I know that sounds too simple, but it's a wonderful reference page written by a wonderful feline nutritionist that can help you with all of your feline nutritionist needs.
All right, and I just remember cartoons. They're always howling in the alley. What, anything on that?
Why? Probably based on the cats that are unneutered. There's a lot of yowling.
Yeah, a lot of yowling for that.
During the mating, when they're looking for a mate.
Yes. So, but if you're neutering your pets and we're getting all of the feral and stray cat populations neutered, then you won't hear that as much.
Yeah, you won't hear yelling. The only yowling we ever get is from Buddy, which is about 30 minutes before dinner time, because he is letting us know that it is dinner time.
Right, so then you have the kittens. What is it? The kittens used to be one way and now they're in a cage. You used to let the kittens used to be out, or?
So we used to have the kittens running in the front store. And as we were discussing earlier, now that we have an entrance and an exit door, we no longer have like the ability to keep an eye on them. So the kittens right now stay in what we call the kitten room, which is currently quarantined. So we can't go visit the kittens today because we're not going to scrub up and stuff like that, but they are getting great care and getting fixed up. They came from a farm and they picked up a fun farm parasite that we're working on right now. But they are getting mended and getting wonderfully healthy, and then they'll be up for adoption.
All right, Robbie and Kelly from Sarah's Treasures here on River Road. Anything else you want to say about cat adoption, cat rescue?
It's a lot of work, but we do it for the animals. And like I said, we could use support, monetary donations for vet care. Any kind of pet supplies are always welcome, or just come and shop, because that helps support our mission.
You have enough volunteers?
We could definitely use some volunteers. It is a little tricky with COVID. The volunteer program has been a little bit slower than usual, but coming up, if someone is wanting to volunteer, definitely go to our website. We have an application online.
Yeah, we definitely need some reworking. And then, you know, as I said, this is our 20-year anniversary, so we have been in the community for 20 years, and we couldn't have done that without our donators or our shoppers or even the cats. You know, that's the reason we're here, is because these cats do still need help. So we always appreciate you stopping in, going to our website, helping on the wish list, and just being a part of our fun here. So we do appreciate it.
All right, sarahstreasures.org. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So what's it like to be a volunteer at Sarah's Treasure?
It's really, really great working here, because it feels like I finally have, like, a purpose. I used to work at Domino's, where I would just be flipping dough around, and, you know, that doesn't really motivate you very much. But working here, it feels like I can actually participate in something that's worth doing. Like, helping the cats is, like, I'm very passionate about cats, and I have been ever since I was little, so it's just really rewarding working here.
What do you like most about cats?
Just all their different personalities. You never know what you're gonna get. Like, no matter what the cat looks like, once you meet it in person, it's gonna have a different personality, and you never know if the cats are gonna get along or not, but I just love how different they all are.
Is there a special clientele that comes in here, you think?
Definitely we get a lot of older people, I would say, like the elderly people. we'd have a really great community. The people that donate specifically, like, we get a lot of amazing, nice, new even stuff in. So.
And you get to interact with the cats?
The cats, yeah. We're encouraged to interact with the cats because we need to get them all socialized, especially the cats that are less socialized. Like, you've heard about Lionel. It's very important for us to sit in there, even without touching him. We just sit in there and we just talk with him to make him more socialized.
All right, thanks very much. What's your name again?
I am April.
April, thanks very much.
Yeah,
thank you. Keep up the good work.
Then comes this monster mouse. You don't need to wonder.